greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I was inspired by that first song we sang after Sunday school. The last phrase there, "Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus." So I thought about our Sunday school this morning, and as we studied Solomon worshiping there at the temple, what did we do this morning but come to magnify the precious name of Jesus? One thing, a prayer request I would like to share this morning. My wife received a message from one of her friends in Pennsylvania. I don't know how many of you know the James Allgaier family from Ridgeview. His wife passed away last night due to some complications from a miscarriage. She went in, had surgery, and she ended up dying. I think they have 5 children. Steve, you probably know them better than I do. 5 or 6 children. The oldest being 13, 14, somewhere in there, down to pretty young. And so there are those that are mourning, and I think we ought to remember them in prayer. I enjoyed the service very much this morning as we once again gathered together to worship our great God. I was challenged. I felt like my understanding was stretched this morning, especially in our discussion of God's dwelling and where is God at. And I thought it fit the devotions this morning and Sunday school fit well with what I feel is laid on my heart. And I didn't really think about it before I chose this message. It seems like sometimes when we have an event, like a big event that happens, there's lots of messages preached about that event. And this COVID thing, I wasn't even thinking about it when I prepared this message. And yet, it probably fits there. But I want to think about security in Christ this morning. There is so much, how do you want to say it? People today spend so much on security. And I believe it's something God has created inside of each one of us. We want to feel secure. We don't like it when our lives are disrupted, when things are not normal. I suppose there are some people that thrive on that, but the majority of humanity likes things normal. We don't like it too monotonous, but neither do we like so much change. We like to know what's going to happen. We like to know what's coming this week. We like to know that tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll have a job. And at the end of the week, I'll have a paycheck or whatever. The money's going to come in and there's going to be money in the checking account and we can pay our bills and we can do things. We like the thought of security, of our possessions being protected. The government spends billions and maybe trillions of dollars per year on homeland security. We get to witness some of that. Just this morning I heard some of you talking about Border Patrol flying a helicopter around. And you think about the insurance on that one single helicopter. You think about the amount of fuel it burns, and you think about how much they pay those men inside it. And I don't know what those machines cost to operate, but I know when they talk about the life flight, a lot of those helicopters, they say they can't operate one flight for less than about $18,000. I don't know if those government helicopters are much different. You think about the millions of dollars that go into the military training to fly those expensive planes and expensive helicopters and expensive vehicles. It's all about security. You can get security systems for your house that will notify the authorities when somebody tries to break in, and that'll cost you anywhere from $600 to $1,200 a month. There's those that say it's free. I don't know. I never really checked into it. Health insurance costs lots of money. People spend tremendous amount of money on health insurance. Car and home insurance. They spend money. We spend money on insurances to protect ourselves, to give us some security so that if something goes wrong, we are not left destitute and hungry. And I wonder sometimes how much I get caught up in this security. How much do I place my trust? How much faith do I put in my security? Glenn brought a good message last Sunday on faith. And maybe this goes hand in hand with that. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a repeat and a copy. But you can turn to John chapter 10 this morning. I'd like to read some verses there. And I'm going to be turning to quite a number of scriptures this morning. Perhaps I'll be reading more scripture than talking. I'm not sure. But as I think about we as Christians, we are human. We are not perfect. There are times where we struggle to feel secure. There are times we wonder, what does the future hold? And I had to think about what Jesus wrote here in John chapter 10. And I'd just like to read a few verses here. Let's start in verse 22 of John chapter 10. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And I'll stop reading there. There's a lot in this passage that we could look at. And there's other scriptures that I could turn to that I don't even have written down here. My mind just went to Matthew, where Jesus talked about the birds, the sparrows. Just last Sunday, we were sitting on the porch at my folks' place, and I think it was a mockingbird. I'm not sure what, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But it began pushing little baby sparrows out of a nest in the tree. Three of them fell out. And you remember that scripture that Jesus said, not a sparrow shall fall to the ground without your Father in heaven knowing. Isn't that a precious thought this morning? As I sat there and I watched those birds fall one after another, it just struck me, Jesus is watching that. He told us that. He knows that each one is falling. And my question this morning right now, at this part of the message, is who do we belong to? If you go to verse 26, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And then he goes on to say, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Two actions. Jesus knows us when we follow him. The reason the Jews that were asking this question of if he is the Messiah, there in verse 24, if thou be the Christ, then tell us plainly. If thou be the Messiah, Some interpretations read it that way. If thou be the Messiah, tell us. And Jesus said, I have told you, and I am telling you again, but because you do not belong to me, because you're not my sheep, because you do not believe in me, you cannot see the plainness of it. And as I think about our security in Christ this morning, it takes faith. It takes knowing Jesus, hearing his voice, and following him. We can hear his voice this morning, and we can choose not to follow him. Then we will not know plainly who Jesus is. We will not know that he is the Messiah, and we will not have security either. I think about, if we would back up earlier in this chapter, he talks about being the shepherd. Maybe I'll just read verse 7 of chapter 10. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the only way to heaven this morning. And Jesus is the only way to have security in this life. Am I saying this morning that insurance is not necessary? Well, I'll just use car insurance, for example. The state requires it of us. But do I become dependent on it? There are things that perhaps the state requires of us that we would rather not do, such as car insurance. But there's something that can come with that after using it for a while, after having it for a while. Do we allow that to become a security? Now, I want us to focus on verses 28 and 29 of chapter 10 this morning. And I gave unto them eternal life. What more can you and I want this morning except eternal life? We have very little promise of tomorrow. I was reminded of that again this morning with that message. Things can change so fast. I even think with this, guess I'll call it pestilence, COVID, whatever you want to call it. I remember hearing little bits about it in December, and then all of a sudden, things changed so much. And the panic that we witness all the time, things just change so fast. But where is your security this morning? If we have eternal life, what more do we want? Nobody can take us out of the hand of the Father. It is our choice only to be removed from God's hand. Verse 28, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This morning, those that do not love Christ, those that are against Jesus, those that have signed on with the devil and want to destroy Christianity, they cannot take you and I out of Jesus' hand. We are there. The only person that can take you out of Jesus' hand this morning is yourself. Your unbelief, my decision to no longer believe in the shepherd's voice, my willingness to no longer put my faith and trust in him. I am the only one that can take myself out of Jesus' hand. But as long as I put my faith and trust, and as long as I believe that shepherd's voice, nothing can take me out of there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A lot of what I am reading this morning is just simply encouragement that I have found in the scripture of people that have written. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I won't read everything, just a few verses here. Verse 7 to the end of the chapter. I guess it is over half the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know, that is difficult sometimes to say. Sometimes we can be very cast down. We can be distressed. We can be perplexed. We can be troubled. And yet, when we place our faith and trust in God, we have a security that no one else has. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also before Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I believe this is a very good parallel passage with what Jesus wrote about in John, or what John wrote, what Jesus said in John there. Maybe Paul was just expounding on those words, and perhaps it wasn't written yet. But we have this body that sometimes causes us a lot of trouble. When I read verse 18, I thought about this, that too many times I myself get things switched around. I would read this verse, while we look at the things which are seen, but not at the things which are not seen. We change that around. We become focused on that which is seen, and we become weighed down, and we forget about the security that we have in Jesus Christ. And it robs us of our joy. We become discouraged, and we forget about what God has done for us, what God has provided, and that nothing this morning can take us out of the Father's hand. Sometimes verse 17 is hard to believe. Our light affliction. Sometimes that affliction seems heavy and is not light. But when we hold it up to the eternal value that is building for us, then it becomes a light affliction. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 10. Just read one verse here. Very common verse that many of us probably could quote by memory. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that ye may be able to bear it. There are no surprises with God. Nothing comes into our lives, and this is difficult for me to believe sometimes. It takes faith to grasp onto this promise, but there is nothing that comes into our lives that God does not allow. We could go and look at the life of Job, and we could see that discussion that Satan and God had. And God only allowed Satan to do a certain amount. At first, God only allowed Satan to take things away. He would not allow Satan to touch Job's body. And then later, Satan came to God again and said, well, let me touch his body and then he'll curse you. And God gave him that next step that he could go. And at times in life, we need to remember things like that. We need to remember that God will not allow things to come our way if we can't handle it. And it's hard to believe that sometimes. And when the temptations come, God will make a way to escape it. I'd like to look at a number of psalms at this time. Just read a few psalms. Let's go to Psalm 27 first. Seems like David was a man that could put a lot of things on paper that just speaks to the needs of so many. I look at him as just a down-to-earth writer, a common man that could just make the pen flow and just explain so much of the human cry. Chapter 27 of Psalms. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'll read the rest of it, but let's just think about some of this a while. David's faith and his confidence. We look at his life and the record that we have of it and the difficulties that David faced, the hard times, the many times he was pursued for his life. And yet he looked to God for his light. I'm sure he was discouraged at times. I'm sure he was uncertain of his future. Many times, perhaps, he did not feel secure. But yet, when he looked at God for his security, he could write the first verse. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I be afraid of? What do you and I have to fear today if we are in the hollow of God's hand? Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He just writes so plainly here to put our trust in God. To cry out to God for security. When all have forsaken us, verse 10, when our families forsake us, when everybody around us forsake us, God won't forsake us. He will be there. He will be with us. But it takes belief. It takes worship. Towards the end of verse 6 there, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. If we do not worship, I don't believe we will feel that security. I don't believe we'll be able to continue on in faith unless we worship. Let's go to Psalms 48 and read a few verses there. Psalms 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Notice David comes back to that security thing. God is a refuge. I forgot to mention in verse 27 the different places David mentioned, the pavilion, the tabernacle, the rock, all secure places that God is and provides for us. Verse 4, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, and in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go around about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. As we consider the last part of that chapter, as he explains Mount Zion, he's looking at Jerusalem, and I think of the church today. And I don't understand what all Scripture refers to, but I would like to look at this as the church and the strength of the church that is faithful to God. Look at the protection. Look at the security we have. The other thing I would like to bring out about this Psalms is notice the difference between those that put their faith and trust in God and those that do not. The kings of the earth fled. They had fear. They ran at the presence of God, and God's people worshiped. I think again of where we're at today. You know, as you look at, as you just watch different people, those that have their faith and trust in God, this whole COVID thing does not really shake them. But the world that does not have God, they are running in fear. They are consumed with fear. And yet those of us that have God, that put our strength and trust in God, it's different. We can take positive things out of it. It can build us up. It can cause us to be stronger in God. But the wicked fear him. In closing, I'd like to read Romans 8. Let's turn there for a few more verses. A few more promises of God's security. Much we could read here, but I'll just read the last few verses here, starting in verse 35, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are some powerful verses. As we stop and think about them, what can separate us from God? Can you and I have the faith of Paul as he wrote this? Those last two verses, 38 and 39, that pretty much covers everything in life. Is any of those going to separate you and I? They can. We can become discouraged. We can lose our focus. We can look to the things which are temporal for security. We can place our trust in them. Or we can choose Jesus. Who else on earth can bring us security as God can? My desire this morning is to have that faith, to be able to look at all of life, no matter what comes, and say that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And that is my desire for each one of us, that we could be secure in Christ this morning, that nothing would separate us from the love of God. Let's kneel for prayer.